Okay, let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. We're still looking at this issue of counsel, and no, we haven't started in the series in Isaiah. You didn't miss 29 chapters of Isaiah and suddenly wake up and restart Isaiah. Where's the other 29 chapters? No, this still has to do with counseling, believe it or not. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing to watch what the Lord is saying here. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk down, or rather walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, in chapter 29 of Isaiah, we saw that the Lord judged Israel by putting them into a spiritual slumber so that they could not understand the word of the Lord. Even though they went to the prophets and the seers, they were of no help to them. And that's verses 10 through 14. And the reason why he did that was because outwardly they appeared to have been the people of God. And we addressed that last time, and we're going to look at it again tonight. But the fact is, within their spirit, within their core, deep in their conscience, they tried to hide their counsel from the Lord. And that's verse 15 of Isaiah 29. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? God hid his counsel from them because secretly they were setting up their own counsel, following their own counsel, and not the counsel of the Lord, which is what he says in chapter 30, verse 1. They take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. So they wanted to give the impression that they were seeking the counsel of God. They would go to the prophets, they would go to the seers, but the reality was they had already set in motion their own counsel. And the prophet came on the scene, Isaiah and other of his contemporaries, and said, you know, what you're doing is wrong. You know, you're telling the priests, the prophets, the seers that you really want to seek the counsel of God, but God has already exposed you, that you really don't want to seek the Lord. You already have your counsel, your secret plans and alliances with Egypt to protect you from the Assyrians rather than the Lord. And that's what he was telling them. He said, you know, woe to you. Woe. You know, that you have these deep down counsels, you know, you're hiding them to the degree where you act like I don't know what you're doing. That's what my prophet is there to tell you. He's telling you, I know what you're doing. And we dealt with the fact of the true nature of the hearts of these people, that was they were rebellious, stubborn against God and his will. They wanted their will so much, and here's the key that I thought about last week. They wanted their own will so much so that they rebelled against God and sought their own counsel. I don't know how else to put it. They wanted their will so much so that they rebelled against God and sought their own counsel. You know people like that? They want what they want so bad that they're willing to go against the counsel of God and listen to their own counsel. Amazing. They sought a counsel that agreed with their preconceived and ill-conceived plans. whatever counsel that they were seeking, it's clear it was not from God. Why? Because that's what he said. They took counsel, but not of me or from me. They didn't hear it from me, though they may have said I said it, but I didn't say it. The covering with the cover, or cover with the covering, referred to a covenant of protection, but had nothing to do with God's spirit, nothing to do at all. They trusted in their own allegiance with Egypt, but not God. So no matter how they appeared outwardly to others, they appeared to be God's people. The fact was that inwardly they were rebellious against God and his plan and his spirit, and thought that they hid their evils from God. All of what they were doing was compounding sin upon another, upon another, upon another, which we saw in closing meant to be swept away or to be snatched away with sin. They add to the sin of rebellion against God that of forming an alliance. Sins do not usually stand alone, and when it's committed, it is often necessary to commit others in order to carry out and to complete the plan which that original sin contemplated. Okay, I'm going to do this. I need to rebel against God. I need to do this. I need to do. So it's just compounding sin. That's all they were doing. And I believe we're going, you know, to the temple all the time and having the religious services. And inwardly, it was nothing but rebellion. And eventually it comes out. Matthew Henry said, how this sin of theirs is described, what there was in it that was provoking to God. When they saw themselves in danger and distress, they would not consult God. Number one, they would not consult God. They would do things of their own heads and not advise or advise with God, though they had a ready and certain way of doing it by Urim and prophets. In other words, everything that they needed to get the direction of God was right there at their disposal. The prophets were there, the Urim and the Thummim, and everything that God gave them to get clear direction to his will. His spirit was there. That's not the point. It's never been the point. The supply that God gave the people is always there. They were so confident of the prudence of their own measures that they thought it needless to consult the oracle. Nay, they were not willing to put it to that issue. In other words, they didn't want to take what they thought was their way to God to see whether it was true. They didn't have to. They knew it was wrong from the get-go. They take counsel among themselves and from one another, but they do not ask counsel, much less will they take counsel of me, Matthew Henry was saying. They cover with the covering. They think to secure themselves with one shelter or another, which may serve to cover them from the violence of the storm, but not of my spirit, not such as God, by his spirit, in the mouth of his prophets, directed them to, and therefore it will prove too short a covering and a refuge of lies. They take counsel among themselves and from one another, but they do not ask counsel, much less will take counsel of me. They won't take God's counsel. They do it purposely. This isn't some, I didn't know what to do. Well, if he did know what to do, God would direct you what to do. So it's not an issue of not knowing what to do. Everybody's not a victim. Okay, some people do evil and they do it intentionally. They set out to do it intentionally. I hate to use this illustration. But the point is going to be, well, mate, this whole Tiger Whoremonger Woods thing is getting so beyond ridiculous. And the people, they're finding these people, and it's just typical of the society and the time in which we live. Just leave him alone. It's his biz. Let it work out between him and his wife. You know, it's incredible. No one, they act like, and I told you, they're going to try to make him look like he's some kind of a freak. Tiger Woods is another filthy whoremonger. I don't know what the big deal is, but people are trying to, we have to restore that image. We have to protect that image. It's all about the image. And it's really not his image as much as it is protecting the image of other whoremongers. It's not, they don't care about Tiger's image. They care about their own image. Why would people want to cover up the image of someone they know is nothing but a filthy sinner? Except would be to cover their own image. You can't say, well, society accepts this famous person and his or her filthiness. And then when another famous person commits the same kind of filthiness, well, we have to protect their image. Well, what's the image to protect? It's not the fact that he's not doing these things. I mean, that's a given. Who cares about the image? The image is not the reality. The reality is the man is vile. But the society wants to protect the image. He's doing so much for children, blah, blah, blah. Gangsters did much for children. Okay, organized crime and criminals, they do great things for children. Look at all the mess that went on in our black communities in the 60s and the 70s. They did great things for children, great things for families. They rob from the rich and give to Negroes. My brother was in the Panthers. That's what he did. They robbed banks and then came back to community like Robin Hood, giving to, you know, poor families. And the Negroes, so stupid, they thought it was a good thing. Nothing good about that. They were criminals. They were criminals. And so when they asked me, what do you think about my brother in jail? Well, he deserves to go to jail. What are you talking about? I was the only one in the family that had that brain. He's no hero. He's a criminal. You don't rob banks and then give the money away to people like you some kind of a good guy. It's madness. It's madness. They ask counsel themselves, among themselves, and one another. But why? That's the counsel of fools. Already taught that. The counsel of fools that keep asking counsel from one another when you already have a desire, a preconceived thing already set in motion, and then you reject the counsel of God and get counsel of yourself. I mean, why go through the show? Eventually, you're going to quit anyway. And talk all that spirit talk, all that confusion. See, the thing, listen, let me go back here for a second to chapter 29. Verse 10, the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. God did that. That's a judgment. That's a judgment. God put them in a spiritual slumber. You ever notice when people are asleep and others are awake to hear people talking in sleep, they don't make much sense. In their dream, I think they're having a very lucid conversation with people, but people who are really awake, they hear. And we talked about, you know, Tabitha and Miriam sleepwalking in the same spot. You know, it's incredible how years apart they were sleepwalk, almost saying, well, almost the same babble, but they stop at the same place and start. Listen to what that's what God did to these people spiritually. He put them in a slumber, so when they started talking, what they said didn't make any sense. See, I've seen a lot of sleepwalking spiritually. God put them in a deep slumber because they refused to accept his counsel. And so the things that they were saying were senseless. Wait a minute. Rational people don't think like this. And certainly people filled with the Spirit don't think like this. Something's wrong. Number two, they would not confide in God. Back to chapter 30. They did not think enough to have God on their side. It wasn't enough to have God on our side. It wasn't enough to trust what God said was true enough. It wasn't enough to rest comfortably with what God said. Well, if God said this, then what are we talking about? There's nothing to talk about. There's only what we need to believe and who we need to believe in. The character of God demands we believe him. No matter what the circumstance, the situation is in front of us, the character of God is enough to believe in no matter what the circumstances is. But no, we don't want that. We wouldn't confide in God. It wasn't enough to have God on our side. We had to trust Egypt. And think about the foolish irony about Israel trusting in Egypt. They were in bondage to Egypt. Now they want to go back to Egypt to help them? I'm in bondage to Egypt, but I need to go back to Egypt. Israel always had this want to go back to Egypt gene in their mind. And I think a lot of people want to go back to Egypt. That can't help. God said Egypt can't help you. They did not think it enough to have God on their side, nor were they at all solicitous to make him their friend. But they strengthened themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They thought him a powerful ally and doubted not but to be able to cope with the Assyrians while they had had him for them. The shadow of Egypt, and it was but a shadow, was the covering in which they wrapped themselves. They trusted in Egypt more than God. God was just there to help Egypt, help our plan along. And this is another deception. Okay, God is here to help my plan along. So I have a plan and counsel, and I'm going to follow it. And in my deception, remember, if I'm in a spiritual slumber, nothing I'm doing makes any sense. But I'm thinking that God is here to help me along to fulfill my plan. No, not going to happen. What was the evil of the sin? Number one, it bespoke them rebellious children. And a woe is here denounced against them under that character. They were, in profession, God's children. But, not trusting in him, they were justly stigmatized as rebellious. For if we distrust God's providence, we do in effect withdraw ourselves from our allegiance. If I don't trust God, then I'm just rebellious. I don't care what we do inwardly, or rather outwardly in our profession. If I don't trust him, it is nothing but rebellion. I mean, do I distrust God's providence and providence? That's a question. That's a question that needs to be answered by all of us. You know, do I trust God's providence, that he knows what he's doing? Israel didn't do it. Do we do it? They added sin to sin. It was sin that brought them into distress. That's true. We'll see that when we get through Isaiah. It was sin that brought them to this place in their condition. Instead of repenting, they transgressed yet more against the Lord. And those that had abused God's mercies to them, making them the fuel for their lust, abused their afflictions too, making them an excuse for their distrust of God, and so they made bad worse. Let me go back over that again. Their sin brought them into their current condition. Okay, the condition was Assyria's coming. That judgment was due to the fact they were sinning already against God. So the Assyrians coming to destroy them and to put them into captivity, okay, was preceded by them not repenting and not believing and not trusting God. So the coming army was the judgment. So it was sin that brought them into the distress that was coming right after them. And so they didn't repent of the sin, which is what I said last time. The prophets were there. When you saw a prophet on the scene, that was your last chance. Okay. Prophets didn't say happy days here again. Prophets said, this is your last warning. Okay, people don't understand the ministry of prophets because they don't know their Bibles. That's the problem. The prophets came on the scene to tell you, this is your final warning. Okay, so, and we're not telling you or giving you 87 to 957 different instructions. We're giving you one simple instruction. God said you're sinning, repent. That's it. Or if you don't, here's what's coming. Simple. So it was sin that brought them into distress. And instead of repenting, which was the message of the prophets, they trespassed yet more against the Lord. And those that had abused God's mercies, i.e. the prophets, telling them it's time to turn now while you still have the opportunity, making them a fuel of their lust, abused the afflictions too. So now the afflictions were coming. And so they use it as a means to satisfy their desire to go to Egypt instead of trusting God, adding more sin upon the original sin. And so they use the coming pain and distress, they use it as an excuse to distrust God more. And all this says is the original sin that got us in this condition, I'm not willing to admit I'm the cause of this condition. So the condition's coming and I get afflicted and I blame God for it. And then that justifies me doing what I want to do. This is all in their heads, making them an excuse for their distrust of God. And so they make bad worse and add sin to sin. And those that do so, as they make their own chain heavy, so it is just with God to make their plagues wonderful. Does God make their plagues destruction even greater? Now that which aggravated their sin was that they took so much pains to secure the Egyptians for their allies. They walked to go down to Egypt, travel up and down to find an advantageous road thither, but they have not asked at my mouth, never considered whether God would approve and allow of what they were doing. They never even considered it. They wouldn't even go before God, which they had to go through the prophets, because that's God's mouthpiece, to figure, you know, is this really the right thing to do? You don't bypass the plan of God, the structure of God, to do what you want to do. Well, I don't need to preach it. I don't need no pastors. I don't need no brothers and sisters. I'm going to just go right to the love. Show me that in the Bible. Dare you to do it. Show me where God always violated his structure to give you a plan. Show me. People are talking that noise like, you know, God is so much their buddy. How you doing, Lord? They keep bypassing the clear, specific plan of God over and over, habitually do it over and over and over again, and they think God is leading them. Just bypass the whole structure of the church, just like Israel bypassed the whole structure of the temple. Once they set in motion doing what they want to do, they forgot the entire structure of God's temple and God's system of doing things. I send my mouthpiece to speak to you. I send them to tell you what to do because they speak my words to you. And if you wanted to come to me, you had to go through them to hear from me, because they're the ones that I ordained in my plan to speak to you and what have you. And that's not to say you shouldn't go to God in prayer, what have you. But don't tell me that God's going to bypass the entire structure of his will so that you can entertain some insaneness. You couldn't prove that if you had to, and you know you couldn't, and you know you're not going to. They never considered whether God would allow or approve of it or not. They didn't care whether God approved of their plans. They didn't care whether God approved of what they were doing. They had already determined they were going to do it, and they were going to use God to do it, and if they couldn't, it didn't matter, because it's God's fault. It's my fault I'm in the mess I'm in. It's so-and-so's fault. It's not my fault, so-and-so's fault. Well, if they didn't put me in this situation, I wouldn't have to. Wait a minute. It's not so, it's your fault. They did what they wanted to do regardless of whether God would approve of it or not. They didn't care. That's the end of Matthew Henry's quote. They didn't care what God wanted. They didn't. Now, go down to verse 8 of Isaiah 30. They didn't care what God wanted, never did. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Okay, now I want you to write this, okay? Write everything I tell you. Write everything about them. So it'll be a living, no, not you. So it'll be a living record. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Okay, write in the book. This is a rebellious people. You know, take a note. This is a rebellious people. What a summary of those who seek their own counsel and not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. What are the characteristics? And keep in mind that all of these descriptions were all verbs. In other words, it was a constant characteristic of them all. Didn't matter what they were for the moment, because all this stuff was in the heart anyway. It's all in the heart anyway. They were continually rebellious. There's nobody in their right mind who has a mind that is working, who has a stitch of honesty and integrity in them, could read a Bible and not see that Israel was continually a rebellious people. Over and over and over again. Continually rebellious people. And no one under that same description I gave a moment ago can look at a church today and not see exactly the same thing. When we look in Israel's mirror, we see ourselves. That's why we don't want to do it. Now, this is a different Hebrew word for rebellious or rebellion that's in verse 1. These people were inwardly bitter towards God, his men and his word. They were bitter, but outwardly they appeared to follow it. But you know, it's always temporary. And I've said this so many, it doesn't matter. And you know, I keep going back to that parable of the soils because it's so applicable. The text never states a duration of time except for those who hear the word and immediately receive it. No, hear the word and those that it falls on hard hearts, immediately the devil comes, takes it away. But the other two, not the one that really bore fruit, but the other two, after the hardened heart one, there's no duration of time. It could be a month, a year, 5, 10 years. Oh, I've always taught that. There's no duration of time. You know, they could be sitting and cheesing forever in the church, but deep down inside, they could be bitter towards God. Manifest in many different ways. They may not come out and say, I'm really mad at God. You know, some people don't say it. They just fume against God. You know, deep down inside, they don't want God's plan. They were continually rebellious, but it was always temporary. All that appearance, that outward appearance of following, was always temporary. It was never permanent. Some took years, but sooner or later, he starts seeing the cracks. They all start to show. Number two, they were continually lying. They were deceitful, false, deceptive, and they were faithless. All of this was within their hearts towards God, and they tried in vain to hide the truth from him about who they really were towards him, which is beyond absurd. But you have to understand, when God gives you that state of spiritual slumber, you know, his intent is that other people see you with this person is slumbering. God to put the deep sleep on this fool here. That's God wants you to see that. You know, he wants you to see that. He doesn't want you to be naive towards it. You know, when they're walking apparently in the straight and narrow, then suddenly God wants you to see they slumbering. And they tried in vain to hide the truth. When God puts you in a sleep and a slumber spiritually, you try to hide truth from God. Number three, they would not hear the word of the Lord continually. They just continually rejected the word. They continually refused to respond in simple obedience to the word of God. They just kept putting out. As we'll see in verse 10, 11, they didn't want to hear it. Was that 14 and 15? Let's make sure I get it right here. It's coming up in a moment. Yeah, 10, 11. They didn't want to hear it. See, simple truth for, and I told people, I've been saying this forever, nobody's listening. I told you, if you don't want truth, truth will be boring to you. See, I keep repeating these things because I know people like I never said it. That's why you have hundreds of tapes, thousands of messages that I could easily go back to. Because, you know, if it's not exciting and blowing up, people think it's boring. Well, the church isn't designed to blow things up. You want entertainment, go to the theater. You want truth, you go to the church. You don't mix the two together. It's not a one-stop shop for your madness and truth. They just wouldn't respond. But that was because they began to seek their own counsel. See, all these things are connected. They didn't want the counsel of God. And so naturally, they had to stop listening because the counsel of God kept coming. And they said, you know, I can't deal with this. I'm getting, this not going to survive much longer. You know, they'll start cracking. All that cheese and religion start to cracking. All that smiling and hidey hidey he start cracking. And you go, oh, I gotta flee this. I gotta blame somebody. I would never blame you, Pastor. Yes, a pastor, pastor, pastor. Mm-hmm. Isn't it just ironic? You could tell them. If you do it wrong, you're gonna blame. I would never blame you, Lee. Pastor, pastor, pastor. He did it, he did it. Following the long trend of others, got them put to sleep. You could even tell them what they're gonna do. I would never do that. Pastor, pastor, pastor. He would never that a he to how to. You've been sitting on this misery for years. Now you even act like it never existed. You a lying of truth. They never been in you. You know it. Nothing's changed. It's always been consistent. The only thing changed was you. Quick summary. Number one, God's men consisted of the prophets and the seers. Number two, God's men were responsible to do one thing only, teach and preach God's word. And that was the counsel of God to the people. And it was in the context of both chapters in 29 and chapter 30. That's the counsel of God. We saw that in Proverbs. We've seen it in Psalms. We've seen it all over. We know it. We know it. No denying. We could deny it, but it'd be a lie because we've seen it. C, the people were faithful to go to the temple and attend to all of the traditions and rituals, but they did it out of habit, not because of any sincerity of heart. They were drones. We dealt with that last time. Just by way of reminder for a moment. A drone is someone who does not work or contribute anything but relies on the work or energy of other people. You know, they're basically mimics. They don't really have anything. And you mentioned clones. There's a difference between a drone and a clone. And we went off camera to that or off the tape. A clone is an exact representation of the master. Okay. So in other words, if you take a DVD of a series of songs or speech or a movie and you make a perfect clone of it, it is technically a second master. Literally. You can put this master away. This one is a master because it copies an exact representation. That's a clone. A drone is the exact opposite. They don't have any copying. All they're doing is mimicking. And a mimic is not a copy. A mimic is someone who's imitating. Imitating is not a copy. Margarine is not butter. I don't care how it tastes like butter. It's not butter. It's a copy. It's an imitation. And usually in the old days, it would say imitation butter. Imitation butter flavor. It's telling you it ain't real. Right on the label. Imitation butter flavor. It tastes like butter. I can't believe it's not butter. Well, it ain't butter. That's, listen, I don't care if it came in a 50-gallon bucket, okay? It's not butter. Do you understand that? So if you have someone who's religious, like a big old 50-gallon bucket of religion, he's not a clone of the person or persons who are following the Lord, nor of the Lord. It's imitation. Whatever it is not the same thing as the master. It is, in essence, a mimic. I told you about that minor bird years ago. The minor bird repeated everything I said. But I'm not a minor bird, and the minor bird isn't me. All he did was mimic what I said, but that didn't mean what he said made him as smart as me or dumb as me or me. The minor bird just said, and the minor bird not only said everything I said, I could not believe it. The minor bird said everything I said in the same tone I said it. That was the most amazing thing. That was the most amazing thing. Like, is there an echo in here? Everything I said, even my, like, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. I mean, it's like everything I'm saying, the bird is saying it in the same tone and everything. That's what messed me up. And the guy was just laughing. He was having a blast with my confusion. I work for the gas company. He said all kinds of things on the road, the gas company. And I went up to the bird. Because we were talking, I kept hearing him. I said, is there a microphone in the place? He just laughed. It was this joke. He finally, you know, I finally fell for him. What's going on? He said, come here. And a little black bird in the cage. And he just laughed at everything. He repeated everything I said in the same. That bird wasn't me. There are mimics in the church. They just imitate like a minor bird. They find either the person, they ha 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 ha, you know, but that's not really who they are. That's not who they are. They want to make you think that's who they are, but they're not. You know, they're drones. They don't have any power of their own. They don't have any real life. Ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. They're always learning. It don't take all that. Ever learning and never able? You talk about two opposite terminology. Ever learning, never able. They were always writing and learning and studying. And it was like, there's nothing there. And that was a judgment. Say the context there, New Testament. D, since the people were no longer one at the council of God, and even though they were faithful in temple attendance, eventually they would turn on the word of God to those who taught it. You can't help it. You're going to do it. It just happens. It happens. It happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. It's happening right now. It's just nothing's changed. Israel is a mirror. We don't want to look at it. Simple. E, when they turn from the word of God, they turn from the counsel of God. That's it. They didn't want the word. They didn't want the counsel. The Bible calls itself the counsel. Counsels, many times in Proverbs. Right counsels, counselors, all those are descriptive of the Bible. We all heard that. All the former, you know, FOTBC, FOFBC, ABCDFG, everybody heard it. They sat there, amended it, yada, 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 and all that noise, and they all turned from it. They all heard it, and they were warned over and over again about the counsels of God. And they all agreed it, wrote it down, and told others, and then turned on it. They have to. It's inevitable. I warn people, you need to read your Bible outside of church. You can understand the flow and the connection of truth together. You think they did it? No. Didn't do it. How do you know? Well, they wouldn't have made the choices they made if they did. F, when they turned from the counsel of God, this did not mean that they did not seek a source of counsel. Just because they turned from the counsel of God didn't mean it was all neutral. We're going to wait on something. They didn't wait on nothing. They saw. In fact, it was because they sought their own counsels that they turned from the counsel of God. They sought counsel, but it was not from the Lord, even though they may have said that it was. Many people blame God. That's a dangerous thing to do. And I've seen it, and you've seen it, and I've seen people that they should have done it. And they paid a severe price for it, too. It's one thing to reject the counsel of God. It's another thing to start seeking your own counsel, regardless of the counsel. That's not the point. But it's far worse to blame God for your counsel. In other words, you ignored his counsel and you're saying now that your counsel is God's counsel. How do you make that leap? The counsel of God is the word of God. You've rejected the word of God. And you got your own counsel. And now you're trying to convince yourself, because you certainly are not going to convince me and anybody else who's walking in the spirit and the truth, that your confusion is God's counsel. That's madness. God put you to sleep. They saw counsel, but it was not from the Lord, even though they may have said that it was. God said it was not from him whatsoever. And that's what's important. The Bible said, I didn't say it. They got counsel, but it wasn't from me. Like you said in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, the prophets went, but I didn't send them. They preached, but they didn't preach what I said. Because if they did, they'd have told y'all fools to repent. But I didn't send them, and that's the proof. The proof is you didn't say what I said. God specifically sent the prophets to the people to tell them, A, they were sinning, B, they need to repent, C, judgment was coming if they didn't. That's the message that God sent all these prophets to tell these folk. And he said the prophets ran, but I didn't call them. I didn't send them. Why? Because they did not tell the people what I said. Plain and simple. You can all preach in the same way. Gee, they were constantly rebellious, constantly lying, and refusing to hear the word of the Lord. And finally, look at what they commanded. They commanded the prophets and the seers to do to them. Verse 11, Isaiah 30. Which say to the seers, see not. Stop seeing. Stop getting the vision from the Lord. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Tell us what we want to hear. It's not your job. We don't want to get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before. We don't want to hear about this Holy One. Stop telling us about God. I want to hear about my own plan. Stop talking about Rick Warren and the paradigm lie. Stop. We like that. We support that lie. We support that mess. We support these churches that have no truth. We support them, and we dignify them by calling them churches, which in turn, we renounce you because you're church irrelevant, because you ain't got nobody, and you ain't big and shiny and frothy and fizzly. You're not telling us what we want to hear. Stop telling us about Christ and about the Word. Stop telling us about judgment and righteousness. You know, who are you? Stop telling us about these things. See not. Prophesy unto us right things. Tell us smooth things. It's the Smooth Things Baptist Church, the Smooth Things Pentecostal, the Slick Church of God in Christ. Just tell us what we want to hear. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. I've been saying that for decades now. And the irony is, so many people who said I was wrong have proved it. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. It had gotten to the place where they were very bold in commanding God's men to stop having visions and to the prophets to stop speaking in behalf of the mouth of the Lord. Stop it. Stop it. They didn't want to hear anything that was right. They didn't want to hear what was right from the Lord. Not right in some general sense, but righteous. They no longer wanted to hear anything that was righteous. They no longer wanted to hear anything concerning integrity and the straightforwardness of the preaching of the word of God, which was the way in preaching of the prophets. They didn't want straight truth. You just teach us that truth straight. Brings right back to Luke 20. Master, we know you are straight shooting, rootless, tootless, straight shooting teacher. They don't want to hear no one telling the truth. We are so evil. The world and the church is so evil. We don't want to hear from God. We want to hear smooth things. We don't want to hear the truth. Folk fighting truth left and right every day. They don't want to hear this stuff. They don't want to hear any straightforwardness. I already taught you in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I believe Psalm 19, 7, many years ago, in Garden Grove when I was teaching this. About those who love the word of God, it speaks of the straightforwardness of the word of God. And those who really love it that way. The more straight, the more they love it, the more they seek after it. I remember that. Amen. Gone. Didn't want to hear it. They wanted to hear smooth things. Which was so interesting because it really means to be flattered. They want the prophets to flatter them. You know, they come to the church and they come to the temple. They want to be flattered. Oh, you look nice. Oh, thank you, Reverend. They want to be flattered. We're going to talk about flattery on Sunday. How ironic, isn't it? They wanted the prophets to flatter them. You see, listen to me. If the temple back then and the church today isn't about God, then it's about us. If it's not about God and his righteousness and his holiness and exalting him, and his law, his prophets, his commandments, his precepts, then it's about us and how we need to be flattered. And oh, we in an economic malaise right now. The worst economy since the Stone Age. A bunch of nonsense, lies too. We all lied up and down the sideways. But now we have to turn the church into a big old doctor, you know, big old giant Dr. Phil factory. Once you got to come and get well in church, you don't need to hear some down and talk. When I come to church, hear what you got to say. God make a blah, 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 blah. You know, people come to church, they want to be psychologically smooth. Smooth talk. They're feeling well. You know, blah, 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 blah. We don't need no truth. We don't even need to go to church. Just sit your fat behind at home and watch some lie. It's insanity. You don't need any church. Why even bother going? If you're going to hear the equivalent of what you hear on television, why waste your time again? Shucks, you should justify it now. I don't need to go to church because I can see what it's doing in Dr. Bill. It would save your gas and money too. Economic hard time. I need watch a little bit more TV preaching. Smooth things. I need to be flattered. I just broke up with my boyfriend and my girlfriend. I need someone to tell me how right. Tell me how pretty I am. Flatter me. Tell me what I want to hear. Reverend, I'm doing the best I can religiously. Tell me I'm doing the best I can religiously. Tell me that's right. Tell me that God appreciates what I'm doing. You tell me what I want to hear from God. And you better tell me that God approves of what I'm doing.
No.
You don't tell me, I'm leaving. You got to approve of my plan because I believe God told me to tell you to tell me that my plan is right. And if you don't do that, I'm going to take my family and leave. We're going to find somebody that's going to tell us what we want to hear. Smooth thing, Baptist Church. We're going to leave here. Foundation of Smooth Things, Bible Church. That's what they want to name it, want to change it to that. They wanted someone to tell them how good and wonderful they were. They wanted the prophets and the seers to tell them smooth things. That is, those things which are in accordance with their feelings, prejudices, and desires, which assured them of prosperity and success. Is this not much of the so-called nonsense that makes up the church today? Rick and all these clowns, Osteen and all the Negroes, Jakes and all, and the fakes down here in Tustin, Paul and Jan and all these, tell us what we want to hear about success because God wants us to prosper and have money and blah, 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 blah. It's nothing new. It's the same lie that was in the Old Testament. Tell us smooth things. And of those things which would not disturb them with the apprehension of punishment, don't tell us about judgment and wrath and hell. Tell us smooth things. Tell us what we want to hear, big black fool. Hoop us silly, boy. We don't want any truth. They did not want to hear the truth and that their secret alliances with Egypt not only was not God's counsel, but was going to be that which would ruin them. They wanted just some man of God to tell them that their lie was the truth. Just do it one time. This was spoken particularly of their desire to make a league with Egypt, an enterprise for which the true prophets threatened them with a divine displeasure, but which probably the false prophets encouraged. Oh, false. Oh, yeah. You know, God's in it. And God sent prophets, good prophets. You better not listen to these false prophets. Ah, what does Harley know about anything? He ain't nothing. Well, I knew that already. I was nothing. That's not even the point. The point is, what's coming out of the fool's mouth? Is it the word of God? No, it ain't the word. He just mad because, you know what, just you go back to sleep. They wanted God's men to speak in agreement to the secret plans they had already made. They no longer wanted to hear that the Lord was their confidence and that all their plans, which were not secret to God or his prophets, was not going to work at all, but would be used of God to judge them. God knew it. Why do you think they wanted Isaiah? Take him out. He's somebody, your plans ain't secret to God. Shh, quiet. Verse 10, which say to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Prophesy deceits. Why we go through this motion then if you just want us to tell you lies? They went on to demand that these men would give them visions and words of deceit. Deceive us. Don't tell us the truth. Deceive us. What do you think every single non-Bible-centered, Christ-centered, so-called church does? It's everybody in the congregation saying, we hired you to deceive us, so do it. And whatever we want to hear, we'll let you know. And you better do it. Deceive us. We want to be deceived. Now, you have to make it so we don't outwardly appear as though we want to be deceived. See, we want you to deceive us, but we don't want you to let people know that we want to be deceived. Outwardly, we have to appear as though we're hearing from the Lord. But you better deceive us. And you better do it in such a way to make it look as though God is actually involved in telling us the deceits that we want to hear. But you can't just come out and say y'all deceived. No. But we want you to deceive us, but just don't let it be known that we want to be deceived. You have to do what Saul did to Samuel. After God pronounced judgment upon Saul, and Saul cried to Samuel saying, but stand with me before the people. See, Saul wanted that appearance before the people that he was okay with the man of God. Thus, he was okay with God because he was standing next to God's man. Samuel fell for it like a fool after he told me he wouldn't do it. No. Just, you know, the appearance. Come on, Sammy. We buds. Sam, come on. Take me out there. Let me stand before you. Everything's fine with me and God because I'm, hey, you know. It's my buddy right here, old Sam. They wanted God's men to put them in a delusional state and mind, of mind and belief. They wanted them, the prophets, to make them delusional. You know, the irony about all this was they were already that. God had already judged them and put them in that state. But they didn't want outwardly to appear contrary to the men of God. So now they're trying to convince the prophets and the seers to join them in their slumber so they can all look like they're really doing the will of the Lord. People don't care about God's man. They care about themselves. The subtlety was that outwardly they would not openly and avowedly demand to be deceived, but they demanded that which the prophet said would be deceits, so that they would not take the responsibility of simply saying that they were already deceived. They could blame it on the prophets and thereby say that the Lord was truly leading them in the way that they already desired and set in motion. So outwardly, they didn't want, you know, people to see that they were deceived, but they wanted to get quietly and secretly, let the prophets do it and send us deceit so that we could say, hey, the Spirit of the Lord led us to do what we are deceived to do. Yep. Nothing new there. Everybody's led to do something which makes no sense. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to do it anyway. Hobbita, 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 hobbita doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to do it anyway. No counsel. Or as I like to put it, all I got was informed. No one said, Pastor, I'm about ready to make a decision. I need to know what the Lord says. Because I'm not getting it. What does the Lord want me to do? Can we have prayer, sit down and talk about this? And I'm not going to do a thing until I sit with the man of God and figure out what we need to do, because I want to glorify God in this. Never had that conversation. It's like, so long, suckers, I'm gone. The Lord led me to do this. Going, aren't you the same person? See, I may not have the greatest memory in the world, but the Lord will bring it to mind. Aren't you the same person when we were in Stanton that said that God would not bypass God's man in your alleged leading until you actually sat with God's man to at least at a minimum confirm that the decision you want to make is of God? Aren't you the same person that said that? And aren't you the same person that said this person was wrong not to get counsel from God before making the decision to do whatever? And now you're doing worse than what you said this person was doing. Aren't you that same person? It's like we keep forgetting. You know why? Because they sleep. I'm old. My brain is supposed to lose its cohesion. But I'm wide awake. I'm like, don't you remember saying these things? They sleep. God, lullaby, lullaby. Close your spiritual eyes. Nighty night, no more fight. You are judged, goodbye. He just rocked in the sleep. Aren't you the same? Don't y'all remember saying these things? Y'all don't remember saying this stuff. I'm going like, am I drunk? I said, I cannot, you just said this 2 weeks before you did worse than what you criticized someone doing. This is incredible. God been rocking folk to sleep. Don't you remember the things that you say? Wow. This word is true. Let every man be a liar. So many people are looking for the man or men of God to sanctify their evil, so that they can wash their hands of any responsibility or accountability or culpability in the evil that they have already set in motion. Well, the Lord let me do it, and you agreed that he did. No, I didn't. I'll never agree to that. Never. If it ain't in that word, I ain't agreeing to nothing. Well, you agreed. I didn't agree to nothing. I don't know what's in your wallet, your bottle, but I didn't agree to that. How is it remotely possible not to see this in our own age today? It is unbelievable to think that these things are not happening and that there are no people in any church who do these things. I'm not speaking of the cults and others who we think to know are totally deceived, but how many who name the name of Christ and attend well-known and unknown Bible-based churches who are no less wretched than these men who demanded of God's men to do the same thing. We act like it doesn't happen. That is sleepy time. God put folk to sleep that believe that lie. It took a nap forever. Amazing. These are all the results of those who do not want the counsel of God. The minute you set in motion not to want God's counsel, all these things happen. And next time we go into verse 11, because it gets worse. It doesn't get better. Oh, no, it gets real bad. These are all the results of those who do not want the counsel of God. What else could one expect than to manifest this attitude and be very bold in doing it? Bold! Just bold in the madness. It's a judgment of God. Lord, thank you again for the truth. And may you continue, Father, to be glorified in it and through it, because it's so true. And may we take heed to the warning ourselves, Lord, not to trust in Egypt, not to trust in anyone but you, that our security be in you, and we get counsel from you. Thank you again, Lord, for such a mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.